everyone. Chanukah Sameach. First of all, thank you very much to Rabbi Phil Karish for all the technical details. A special welcome to Rabbi Eisenberg. I still call it the yeshiva. I can't call it the yeshiva. I'm just not there yet. Okay, it's only been 5 months. But it's really a privilege for me and for the entire Kollel to be welcomed so warmly by the Skokie Yeshiva, by the HTC. And everybody knows that HTC is the august institution of this community of Chicago. It's known around the country and around the world. And to be welcomed as a new Kollel here in the community by the Hebrew Theological College, to have Rosh Yeshiva coming in a few minutes, it's really a great privilege for us, so thank you very much. And thank you to everyone for joining us. A lot of people are away, people come and go, but to make time for Torah on a Thursday morning at the end of December, it's a random Thursday morning, it's wonderful to have everybody. The one thing that you will notice before we get started on this year is there is a poster board outside that the first inkling of a very exciting new venture that the Kollel is undertaking. As many of you know, as the Yeshiva University Torah Mitzion Kollel, we have many goals. We are incubating future rabbis and educators. We are inspiring young people in the Ida Crown Jewish Academy and throughout the community. And we are involved in a lot of Avodas HaKodesh in many different shuls, or Torah in Chol Avei Tzion and in Young Israel, and plenty of places in West Rogers Park. So one of the new initiatives, in addition to our daytime learning at Ida Crown and our evening learning in the congregation King's Beis Medrash, is we are expanding the Beis Medrash in a new way, based on a lot of the positive feedback from this community, from the neighborhood of Skokie, in that we are bringing the entire Kollel, all 10 families, God willing, will all be here in this building, in the Beis Medrash, one stone throw away, every Sunday morning. So we're calling it the Sunday Morning Beis Medrash program. It will be here, the house at Or Torah every week. And it will begin from 9 to 10. We will have a shiur. For those of you who want to join the shiur, it will be a shiur given by myself on current events from a Jewish perspective, in conjunction with Rabbi Tzvi Engel, the Mora D'Asra, who I hope, has finally reached Canada, his long-lost home. His flight yesterday was canceled, so he apologizes he's not able to be here. But it's a kind of a breakthrough in terms of the culture of the shul and the partnership between Or Torah and the Y'Yisrael Mitzion Kollel. And that not only is there a culture of shiurim, but now for people who are looking for a Beis Medrash environment in their own shul, every Sunday morning we'll have opportunities for chavrusas with Kollel fellows, or bring a friend and be a part of this environment. So you'll take a look at this information outside. Okay, without any further delay, let's get right to it. If I were to imagine what it must have looked like, and what it must have felt like, to be there at the original Hanukkah, as a Kohen, what it might have felt like to take out the menorah, to polish it. You can imagine they gathered around after they found the one cruse of oil. They went to the menorah, the beautiful golden menorah. They probably polished it and shined it. And when it came time to light the menorah, it must have been an unbelievable feeling. What an uplifting feeling. And there are different discussions, and they'll be showing them where they lit it. Did they light it inside? Did they light it outside? So they lit this incredible menorah, and it was an awe-inspiring sight. But that's not what happened. At least that's not what the Megillas Tainis, one of the oldest historical Jewish works, tells us. Open up to source number one. The Megillas Tainis is an interesting work in and of itself. It's unclear exactly who wrote it. The cover of the book, which is here in source number one, says Kasra Chananya ben Chizkia ben Gurion, a somewhat unknown figure, Chananya ben Chizkia ben Gurion, and Siato and his friends, Zman Rav Kodem Chibur HaMishnah, many years before the edition of the Mishnah ever appeared. So this is based on the Gemara in Shabbos Yigimel and the Beis, but scholars put it somewhere at the beginning or toward the end of the first century of the Common Era, meaning the end of the Tkufa of the Bayesheni, around 2,000 years old. And this document records month by month different holidays and fast days, usually fast days, sometimes holidays, that Jews observe based on different events. So it discusses in the month of Kislev, the holiday of Hanukkah, and it shares an unbelievable story. So the Megillah of Tanis wants to know, why is it that we light the Neros Hanukkah? Again, written first century. Says the Megillah of Tanis, Ela Shebimei Malchus Yavon, in the days of the Greek Empire, of the Seleucid Greeks, Shenichnesu Beis Bnei Chashmonoi Lehechol, the Chashmonoim entered the Hechol, the Jewish temple, the holy base of Mikdash, the Shiva Shfudin Shobarzel B'yadam. Seven iron poles in their hands. The Chipum Be'etz, and they covered the brass, the iron poles, with wood. The Hiliku Bohem as Samanora. And they used this to light the menorah. Brass poles with wood. That was it. And this is recorded again in the Psikta. Psikta is a little bit of a later medrash. This is unbelievable. We're sitting here celebrating that they found this incredible miracle. They found the oil. And if you would have been there, you would have looked around and you would have said, what a tragedy. They have to light the menorah as some makeshift piece of wood with iron poles. It must have been such a bizarre sight. But it begs the question, which is, the Rabbonu Shel Olam, we love the Rabbonu Shel Olam, and he is really good at what he does. One of those things is creating the world, another thing is doing miracles. Case in point, Yom Hanukkah. So if the Rabbonu Shel Olam can pull off a miracle for Neros to last from one day till eight, couldn't he have pulled off a miracle to get us a nice menorah? It's a little bit incongruous. The fact that there was a miracle in the Neros, in the Shemen and the oil, but not in the menorah. Food for thought. That's piece number one. Piece number two is the Alanithim that we recite every day, a few times a day, and when we bench. What is it that we talk about when we say Alanithim? So we say on the Nisim, the Purkan, the salvation, the Gevuros, the might, the Yeshuos, the help, the Melchamos. The Melchamos means the battle. Melchamos shall see Salav Oseinu. And then the text of the Al-Nisim goes on to describe the Meimatisil ben Yochan Kohen Gadol. What happened? There was a battle. We won the battle. Rabim b'yad mi'atim. Giborim b'yad chaloshim. And this was an incredible battle. It was a Teshua Gedola, it says. Purkan, like it's saying Kaddish, V'yatzmach Purkani, if you know Sosfar, the salvation. The whole Hanisim is about the salvation. What salvation? The miracle of the battle. There was a war. It actually was an ongoing war for quite a few years between the Greek Empire, the Seleucid Greeks. After Alexander the Great died at a young age, the empire was split up among four different generals, and the Syrian Greeks, they were the ones who ultimately had control over Eretz Israel. And this Hanukkah story came with the intense religious persecution of, well, who we know as Antiochus Epiphanes the IV. So this was a great salvation that these guys had been hacking us at China, oppressing us for so many years, and then became very acute to religious persecution. So Hashem made it that the small band of warriors, the Chashmonaim, were able to vanquish the mighty Greeks. That's what it's all about. As a footnote, Al-Nisim tells us, at the end, four lines from the end, the Achar Kain, after this great miracle that we've talked about for the last 15 lines, Bo Banech L'Dvir Beisecha, your children arrived at your Dvir Beisecha in the Heichal, in the Beis HaMikdash, U'Pinah Atech Alecha, they cleaned it out, the Tiras Mikdashecha, the Likus Neiros, B'chas Mishkachecha, and they lit the candles in the Chatzar. So if you were reading the Al-Nisim and someone asked you on the street, what is the miracle of Hanukkah all about? What would you have said? The battle. That's what it's all about. If you read this text alone, then when you shift to the Gemara, the Gemara gives you a completely different picture. Because there's the Gemara, Shabbos Chafal from the days, the whole miracle of Hanukkah, there are only three block Gemara, less than on this whole story. The Gemara says, my Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? We're now going to give it to you. The Gemara wants to know, what is it? This is it. The Tana Rabbanan and the rabbis learned B'chafi the Kislev on the 25th day of Kislev. It's Yom the Hanukkah, it's the days of Hanukkah. There are 8 days. Second line, Shekishenichnasu Yivonim Leichol, Timu Kalashmanim Shebeichol. When the Greeks entered the Beis HaMikdash, they defiled all of the menorah, all of the oils of the menorah. Ukishagav from Malchus Beis Chashmonoi Vinditzkum. When the Beis Chashmonoi, the Chashmonoim vanquished, they won out against the Greeks. What happened? Both Kuvul Motzala Pach Echad Shel Shemen. They looked and they only found one pach of shemen, one jug of oil. Shayamunach because the Moshe Kohen Gadol that had the stamp of the Kohen Gadol, the law Hayabol El Lahadlif Yom Echad. It only had sufficient oil for one day. The Nasib Lo Nes, it was a miracle. The Likuli Menu Shimon Yamin, source number 3, they lived for 8 days. Lashona Acheres on a different year, Kofim Basom Yamin Tovim Bahalav Odah. They established it as a holiday. There seems to be an inconsistency. Which is it? On the one hand, from the text of Ar Nisim, it's clear that the celebration of Hanukkah is because of the Milchama. On the other hand, when the rabbis ask, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah all about? There's not one mention of the miracle of the Milchama. It's all about the Neis Pach Shemen. And furthermore, it's not just the way they ask my Hanukkah. It's the whole notion of, if you are the rabbis and you're trying to formulate the miracle through a halachic way of codifying it as a mitzvah, so what is the expression of the mitzvah of Hanukkah? So there's halo v'hodah, kind of an amorphous thing that you say halo, very important. But the one maisa ha-mitzvah of Hanukkah is hadlakas neiros Hanukkah, the lighting of the menorah, which seems obviously to relate to the miracle of the neis pach shemen. That's why Tosfos emphasizes, as an aside, Tosfos emphasizes that's why we always have to keep the number of days in mind, perhaps. Tosfos thinks it's very important to know what day it is. You can't get confused. That's why some Achronim point out, even those Ashkenazim, quite a few Ashkenazim in the room, who many of us light more than one menorah in our house, the way the Jewish says the commentary on the quoted by the Ramah, he says that you should have, imagine you have one menorah over here, you should have an extra menorah just a little bit over. Why? Because you don't want to have, when you look in the window, it looks like there are 55 candles there. Because you won't know. Maybe there are 55 people living in the house. And maybe it's the first time of Hanukkah. You never know. So what do they say? The Ramah quotes, for Ashkenazi, who like many menorahs, light the each in a distinct place. So you know what day it is. Because we're emphasizing the fact that it lasts for 8 days. So if all the formulation of the nace has to do with the menorah, what happened to the Mulchama? Why is there this great disparity? That's piece number 2. Let's keep it in mind. Source number 4. We'll call it the turn out the lights source. Says the Medrash Rabbah and Bereishis, Rav Shimon ben Lakish goes back to the beginning. Pasar Kra Bagolios. The following verse has to do with the exiles. Exiles and Bereishis. Interesting concept. What does the Torah tell us? When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, v'haaretz ha'isa, the land was tohu v'avohu v'choshech al pnei yisrael. That's the verse we're working on here. Says Rav Shimon ben Lakish, it's referring to the exiles. V'haaretz ha'isa tohu zegolos bavel. Tohu, emptiness. That refers to the exile of Bavel. Shenema ra'isi esaretz v'hinei so. Paskin Yirmiya. Bavel zegolos modai. The Persian exile. Vayavilu lahavi es haman. Play on the pasuk in Esther. The Persian exile. V'choshech. And darkness. Choshech. Turn out the lights. Zegolos yavan. This is the Greek exile. How so? Shehechashicha enehem shel Yisrael. They darken the eyes of the Jewish people, b'gzeiroseihen, with their decrees. Shehaisa omeres lahem. The Jews were told by the Greeks. This is what they were told. You ready? Kisvu lachem al keren hashor. Write, inscribe on the horn of an ox, of a calf. Ein lachem chelak b'elokei Yisrael. You do not have a portion of the Jewish people in the name of God. The very strange. We're talking about the darkness. What darkness? Why is it that the Golus of Yavon is personified, is described as darkness? Because of persecution. How is that different than any other exile? Wasn't there persecution in the Persian exile? Wasn't there persecution? There was darkness in the Babylonian exile. A lot of darkness. But it's not the Yavon. And then the interesting side point here, if I was to ask you, you know, doctor, how did they tell the Jews to really reject God? So you would have said, oh, the Medrash says they had to give up Shabbos, they had to give up Mila. When was the last time anybody told you that they had to go around tattooing their animals on the Karen Ashur saying, Eilonu Chelek Belokei Yisrael? What does that have to do with anything? So there are two other makoros which can perhaps illuminate this nekuda. The first one is source number 5. If you want to find this afterwards, and you don't trust the Bar Ilan CD that the office put this together for, you can find Maseches Sofin. It's not one of the actual volumes of Shas. It's not one of the tractates, but if you open up a Gemara, a big one, the bad ones with Avodah Zarah, in the back they have what's called Masechtos Ketanos. And in the Masechtos Ketanos they have a bunch of different little pieces there. One of them is this Maseches Sofin. So it's kind of a parallel to the Mishnayos. So they tell you the following story. Maisa b'chamisha zekenim. There was a story with 5 elders. Shekosvu l'talmai hamelech es hatorah yivonis. They wrote the translation of the Torah in Greek. V'hoya oso hayom kosha l'Yisrael k'yom shenasa bo ha'egel. And that day was so difficult. It was so bad for the Jewish people. It was like the day that they made the Egel. So right away, we can find the answer to the second issue we raised a second ago. Say the Mepharshim on the Medrash Rabbah, what is the Kisluachem al Karen Hashor? What's the shore that the Jewish people were being told to write on? The Greeks were saying to them, it's the Egel. Go back to the Egel. Forget Yadis. Kisluachem al Karen Hashor, say the Mepharshim, a reference to the Maisa Egel. Go back to it. And what's it in the context of? The 5 rabbis who translated the Torah for Ptolemy. Ptolemy was one of the Ptolemy Philadelphus, I think was his last name. It reminds me of the city of brotherly love. It's very closely related. So he was, again, one of the Greek rulers after Alexander the Great. He gathered these rabbis. The Gemara then tells you in the next piece of Maseches Sofim, a story which is related to Maseches Megillah, that Ptolemy got together 70 plus rabbis, he put them in different rooms, and he told them each to write a translation. That's what the Gemara continues in Maseches Sofim. Shuv Mais to Ptolemy HaMelech. Another one. Shekines Shivim Vishtayim Zekenim Voshivim Vishivim Vishtayim Ushnayim Batim. He put them into 72 different rooms. And he didn't tell them what to do, and then he told them to write the Torah, and it was a whole miracle how they wrote the exact same translation. Turning the page to the Seder of Rambam Gaon, written over 1,000 years ago. We're about to embark on a fast day. 2 weeks from now is going to be a fast day called Asar B'Teves. Why do we have Asar B'Teves? Well, Rav Amram Gaon points out that there are 3 reasons for Asar B'Teves. The one is the siege that happened on the 10th of Teves. The other one was the death of Ezra HaSofer. But there's a 3rd reason. We don't fast 3 days. We put it all packed into one. The Shmona B'Teves on the 8th day of Teves. Nechteva HaTorah B'Yemei Talmai HaMelech Yevonis. The Torah was translated in the days of Talmai, of Ptolemy, into Greek. That was done, according to the Seder Rav Amram Gaon, on the 8th day of Teves. And how does he describe it? V'hachushech bo la'olam shlosha yamun. Darkness descended on the earth for 3 days. Okay, so now we've got, perhaps, an understanding of the first Medrash of Bereishis. Golos Yavon, the Greek exile, is referred to as Choshech, because they made us translate the Torah into Greek, and according to the Seder of Rav Amram Gaon, translating it into Greek is darkness. And it refers to kind of rejecting the Torah the same way that the Egel did with the writing on the Karen Ashur. Now, I don't know who in here owns a volume of Art School, don't raise your hand, obviously, because you are Kojic. No, just kidding. How can this be? How can it be that the translation of Torah into Greek constitutes Choshech, darkness? Aren't we all into that? Isn't that an important phenomenon that we have today in America? That not only do we have religious freedom, we even have religious texts, key traditions that are proliferated in the English language. It opens doors. So how can it be that Rav Amram Goin is saying to us that it's like Choshech? It was 3 days. It was so bad, according to the Sefer Sofim, it was Yom Kosher Yisrael like Asiyah Se'ego. What was so bad for crying out loud about translating the Torah? That's piece number 3. Let's do one more piece. Let's go back to Sefer Bereishis, all the way to Parshas Noach. It's only been a few weeks. Vayochel Noach Ishua Adama Vayita Korim, source number 7. This very perplexing and tragic story after the flood. Noach leaves the Teva, he squeezes out some grapes that he planted in the vineyard, and what happens? He gets himself stoned, he's now lying in the tent. Vayizgal b'sol cholo, he is unclothed, the father Noach. What happens? We know Cham comes, he sees what's happening, and he disrespects his father, either by mocking him or by violating him in some disgusting way. Very crude behavior. So here come the saviors. Source number 7, second line. Vayikach, and he took shame boyefes etasimla. Shame and yefes, the garment, a blanket, a shmata. Vayasimu ashem shenayim, they put it, and they put it on their shoulders. Vayelchu acharanis, they went backwards so they wouldn't see in front of them, so that well, they didn't see the father in his disgraced state. And Noach wakes up. So he curses Cham, who had disgraced him. And who does he bless? Last line, Vayomer Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, V'yichanan Eved Lomo. Thank God for shame. Blessed is God in the God of shame. Yas Elokim L'yefes. Yefes is beautiful, he's Yefeh. V'yishkon he should dwell be'ol Eshem. So there's a problem in the story that I just described to you, and thank God for Rashi. Because what did we say? Vayikach, and he took shame for Yefes. Vayasimu. Who did? Vayikach means he took it. Vayasimu means they put it. So was it he, or was it they? Vayikach shem vayefes. Ain't this kan vayikhu, source number 8, Ella vayikach. It doesn't say they took it. It says he took it. So there's an incongruity here. We made al shame. This teaches us about shame ben Noach. Shame was the one. Vayikach shame took. Shenif ameis b'mitzvah yosem yefes. He worked hard. He took the initiative. More than Yefes did. Lakach. And therefore, we're going to dole out prizes. Here come the prizes. Ready? What do we have? Zachu Bonov, the children of Shame merit Talis Shel Tzitzis. They merit the mitzvah of Tzitzis. We have Tzitzis? Jewish people, the descendants of Shame, we merit the mitzvah of Tzitzis. The Yefes, who is the Tagalong, Zacha l'kvura l'panav. What did he merit? He merited burial. As it says in the war of Gog and Magog, which are descendants of the original Yefes, that they're going to be buried. Shenemar etin l'gog makom shom kever. Fantastic, right? Shame does this great job of taking the initiative, so he gets the bracha of talis. Yefes, he plays a role. Good job. We always need that guy who's the tag-along, but Lamaista, he's the tag-along. So he gets kavura, he gets burial. Where did this come from? How is it that, Rashi is quoting the Medrash here, but how is it that it's fitting that Shem gets the talis and Yefes gets the kavura? It could have been a lot of things. It could have been, you know, Shane could have gotten, I'd like his Neir Shabbos. That's nice. I like the Neir Shabbos. It's beautiful. He could have gotten a whole bunch of different mitzvahs. What is it about Talis and about Kavula that is fitting for this random story in the middle of Parshas Noach? That's piece number four. So just before we wrap it all up, we've got, I don't understand why the miracle was in the inside, in the oil, and not in the menorah itself. I don't understand why the mitzvah of the Maitzah, look at the menorah, does not reflect the Melchama that we commemorate now on Nisim. I don't understand why translation is so bad for crying out loud. And I also don't understand what Shem and Yefes have to do with Talis and Kavur. We're not going to get that. Don't worry. Says the Netziv in the Kidmas Ha'emek. This is the Netziv's Hakadamah to his commentary on the Torah. He says, let's tackle first the issue of translation. Says the Netziv, there's something unique about the Torah. This is in section Gimel. Vihine, the Nedarim Daf Lamed Ches Helu B'Pirush HaMikra Kisvu Lachem Et Hashira. He alludes to a pasuk later on, all the way at the end of Sefer Devarim, where it says, Kisvu Lachem Et Hashira Hazos V'Lamda Es Bnei Yisrael. Write down this Shira, this song, and teach it to the Jews. So, ask the Gemara Nedarim, what is that referring to? The song. What is it referring to? Shehu Kol HaTorah. The song, the Shira, is the entire Torah. That's what it is. When Hashem says to Moshe, Kis V'Lachem, and Moshe says to the Jewish people, Kis V'Lachem. What Kis V'Lachem? Write down the entire Torah, which is called the Shira, a song. So the Tzimah says, in what way is the Torah a song? We chant it, yes, when we lane, but that doesn't... It's not really a song. So what does that mean? So he says the following. He says, I skip the brackets. Hamir Yeshua Havin Heich Nikra Kol HaTorah Shira. In what way is the entire Torah a song? So he says, V'Harimu Nichtra B'Loshim Shal Shira. It's not written in the manner of a song, it's written in a prose fashion. Ela al kacha Yeshvai says, Teva, the nature, the quality, usugulas hashira, the magic of a song. Shehudibur v'lashon melitza, it speaks in a melitza, in words of reference. Melitza, that's a Hebrew word, it's a colloquial Hebrew word. Melitza means like, with multi-layers of meaning. A melitza is just, sometimes it's an expression, sometimes it's a euphemism, sometimes it's a hint. All of these are together. The Yadua L'Kol Mevin, in Talmud, someone who knows the Talmud, the Mishuno HaMeloshon HaMelitza, Misefa Prozi, meaning prose, V'Shnei Inyamin B'Teva U'Vizkula. There are two differences between prose and poetry. Shira really means poetry. Number one, Aleph, five lines down. The Bashir, in ha'inyan nevuah yafeh, kemo b'sipur prozi. A song doesn't fully explain. It doesn't really amplify and fully explain the meaning of what it's saying. It's usually written in shorthand. Unlike a prose, a novel really gives you a full length of the story from beginning to end. When you have a song, it doesn't give you a full story. It doesn't say they woke up in the morning, and then they. It just makes a few comments. And then you pick up through there, and you fill in the blanks here and there. Oh, they must have done this, they must have done that. And then it all comes together. The song is only written in shorthand. The Tzorach Vlasos, he says, Ha'olos men atzad. You have to have notations on the side. I envision in my mind, like they have... When you go to a museum and they have on display some of the original Kislyad of like Mozart or Beethoven, what does he have there on the side of the song? He has little notes. You have to go a little faster, you have to go a little slower, you have to go up and down. All the little notes on the side. So that's what every song is like. You have to make notations. This line, this stanza references this. You know, it's almost like You ever go, this is a great thing to do for like a 60th wedding anniversary. All the kids get together and they make a grommet. So grommet is usually an interesting experience when they try to put this thing together. So what is the grommet? A grommet is a song. So they reference the fact that, you know, 20 years ago, somebody stole somebody else's birthday cake. But they don't sit there at the grommet and say, 20 years ago, someone stole the birthday cake. They make, you know, a song with a reference. It's kind of funny. And they just say something about the birthday cake. So it says that it is, Lahavdil, the Torah is a gevaldige grommet. It's one big, giant grommet. This stanza refers to this story. When you sit there and you look at the ground and you say, oh, it's referring to that. I loved it when Aunt Sadie spilled the birthday cake. That was, we're all loving that. That's not called drush. You're not darshaning the ground and you're saying that's what it means. So that's what the Torah is like. The Torah doesn't give you every single piece of the story. Just case in point, when you read Sefer Bereishis without any midrashim, half the stories don't even fit together. Who sold Yosef? Good question. Very unclear from the text. Who precisely sold him? You got to look at the midrashim. There's got to be a reference point here to some oral tradition, says the Nitziv, in other words. He says, Elakachu teva hashir afilu shel hedyon, even of a mundane cheer of a song. And that's what he says. Skip it down five lines. Kahu teva koa Torah. Shein asipur sheba mubur yafe. It's not clearly elucidated. The Torah is not self-explanatory. Elayesh lasu sa'oros upirushim leduk-duke aloshon. You have to have an embellishment through the understanding of the references. There are many layers of interpretation. Skip to base. Second piece of the notion of a shir. The b'shir yesh skula lefo'ara v'remozin ma she'enu me'inyan ashir. Very often, there are beautiful hints in a poem to think that have nothing to do with it. So you see some beautiful poem written by some scholar, great poem, 16th century, and then you start to notice that the first line of each one spells out Mary Jane Wilson. Oh, everybody, all the chachamim, everybody in literature class finds out who is Mary Jane Wilson. Then it turns out, it was his first wife, once removed, or something like that. You know, it's like, it's something, we found out who Mary. So, that's what the Torah is doing. Very often the Torah will write something, and it will frame the story in such a way that it's trying to tell you something has nothing to do with this story. You know, there's a beautiful, people like to say, Chassidus Shavart, it says in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Mikis, it always falls on Shabbos Chanukah. Why? U'tevoach tevach v'hachim. U'tevoach tevach v'hachim, if you take the letters, it spells Chanukah. Yosef tells the brothers, come, let's have a meal when they come down to Egypt when he's still disguised, and he tells the sergeant, the guy in command, says, tevoach tevach v'hachim, let's get a meal. So say the Chassidim, tevoach, u'tevoach, Tevach V'Hachin has the letters Chanukah. So that's an unusual, that's not a prose. It doesn't say, here is the story of Chanukah. So, and now we have the Drush, this is why the rabbis get paid good money, to figure out what is the connection between Tevach, Tevach, V'Hachin, and Chanukah. But that's not for now. So says the Nitziv, there's something unusual, something spectacular about the Torah. Turn over. Source number 10. A beautiful summary by Rebbe Liot, he told the great scholar and author from Eretz Israel. This is the English version of his Sefer HaTodah, An Act of God. What was the great choshev, the great tragedy of the darkness of the translation of the Torah? The task which Talmai imposed on the 72 sages was almost beyond human ability. The Torah is written in such a way that its content might be open to a variety of interpretations. Kefatish Yefosei Tzela, like a hammer shattering a rock. It splinters into many different interpretations, many different understandings. Like a Shira. It was presented to Israel and they were given the means to interpret its words, sentences, and letters, and thereby elicit the wide range of meanings which it contains. In contrast, one who translates the Torah into a foreign language will find that there is no tongue which has means of expression as rich in multiple connotations as Lashon HaKodesh, as the original Hebrew, the Lashon HaKodesh. What does the translator do? He must abandon all attempts to convey the homiletical, allegorical, and mystical levels which are inherent in each and every word, and render only a literal version of the text. One who translates the Torah into a foreign language translates it into an empty vessel. Empty vessel. Nothing on the inside. Only on the outside. Devoid of its exegesis and its multiple levels of meaning. Imagine how difficult it is for one who loves the Torah and recognizes its greatness to be left with no more than a literal translation. The Choshech, the darkness, was because the inside of the Torah was sucked out. The reason why the Chochmei Yavan is so different than the art scroll, it's because art scroll is not saying this is a replacement for, this is a substitute for the Torah. No, it's saying this is a portal of entry. This is one way to access the great piece of knowledge, this immense yam shel Torah, is through the English language. We're going to give you one way to get in, and most often we give you the original Hebrew, so you can study in and of yourself. That's what they always say in the Hakdamah. This is not in place of, this is an addendum to, or better yet, this is almost like a handbook for what you really are about. The Greeks said, no, that's not what it's about. We're really into Chachma. We're very knowledgeable guys. Socrates, Plato, Pythagoras, all these guys, big chokhmah, not much on the inside. So they said, the Torah is just like everything else. Let's translate it so we can have it on the shelf right next to Socrates, Moses' Bible, all the same. What a tragic. To take the inside, to make it into an empty vessel, that is truly a tragic. Because on the one hand, you're right. Chokhmah Bagoyim says it's the Gevaldi Eichel Rabbah. Says source number 11, in Yom HaLachah Adam, if somebody tells you, Yesh Chokhmah Bagoyim, there's wisdom in the world. There's Mada, there's secular knowledge out there that's wise. Tamen, it's true. It's true that there is secular, non-Jewish wisdom in the secular world. However, next line, Yesh Torah Bagoyim. If someone tells me that they have Torah, I'll tell them. Malka v'soreha Bagoyim ein Torah. They have Chachmah, but they have no Torah. What's the difference between Chachmah and Torah? Chachmah is the outside, the wisdom of the outside. Torah is the wisdom on the inside. I'll give you a mashal. Let's say, guy's going out with a girl. There we go. They go to set up the guy with the girl, so they want to know. The guy wants to know, what's this girl like? So he calls up somebody, he wants to know what she like. So there are two ways to describe this girl, two people to call. You can call, the first person you might want to call is the pediatrician. Because the pediatrician will tell you how tall she is, how much she says she weighs, what color her eyes are. All these things the pediatrician will tell you. So when the guy calls up the girl, I want to know about this girl. The pediatrician will tell you everything on the outside, exactly what she looks like. He can tell you her blood type, you know, how the bile works, goes from here to there, the liver, all these kind of things. And there's another way to find out about this girl. What do? You call her best friend. And hopefully she'll tell you the truth also. You call the best friend says, you know, we schmooze every night for like 4 hours. Once in my room, once in her room, every night, 4 hours. And we get to really know each other. I know her on the inside. So Lahavdil, the Chachmah of the world, the Pythagorean theorem, and all these measurements, they're measuring the world, the Chachmah of the Goyim, it's on the outside. It's all valuable, but you're getting to know the world only on the outside. So what? What's out there? How does this building stand up? You got to ask the architects. I don't know that. But then there's another wisdom. It's not about the outside of the world. It's the inside. It's how to get to know the world and Hashem from the inside. That's the Torah. Chokhmah Bagoyim Tamin, Torah Bagoyim Al Tamin. There is no Torah. So the whole machlokas here, the whole debate between the Greeks and the Jews was about this point. Is it about the outside or is it about the inside? So now we can understand, says my teacher, my Rebbe, Rav Herschel Schefter Shalita, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, at the end of his sefer called Nefesh HaRav, which is like a halachic biography, a little, not even a biography, just halachic tidbits from Rabbi Soloveitchik. He has at the end a section of different Torah on the parsha. Josh Soloveitchik drew the following distinction, which aligns perfectly with what we're talking about. He says, let's look at shame and yepes, and let's think about two concepts in the English language. One is called ethics, and the other one is called etiquette. What's the difference between ethics and etiquette? Ethics means you do the right thing. Neto. No questions, no discussions. You just do the right thing. Doesn't matter where you are. Etiquette is something else. Etiquette means, well, depending on the circumstance, that dictates how I'm going to be in. So I'm not going to read it inside. You can take a look later. Says Rav Soloveitchik beautifully. Shame! What kind of a man was Shame? He was an ethical man. Because when he saw his father in a state of disgrace, he said the ethical, the right thing, the moral thing to do is to cover the father. Vayikach Shame vayepes. Shame said, I got to do this. Even though he was in Bosok Arlo, he was in his tent. No one else in the world saw that Noach was disgraced. He was disgraced in his own tent. So from an ethical standpoint, Shame says, we have to cover the father. Yepes, he's not the ethical man. He's the etiquette man. So what does etiquette man say? Well, the father's inside. Okay, etiquette says no one sees on the outside. It's okay. On the outside, we're all good. But the etiquette dictates. So what Shame is doing is, you know, it's pasnish. Etiquette dictates if he's doing it, I have to do it also. So it's vayasimu. He says, okay, I'll go along. I'll also cover the father. It's a fundamental difference. Talis is on the inside. The talis kafan especially, the talis we wear in shul is on the outside, but the talis kafan that we wear every day is on the inside. Even those who keep their tzitzit strings out, the Zohar says you got to keep the beged in. That's why the beged is always covered. Because the beged is always on the inside. The tzitzits are out, the tzitzios, for uri'isim also, so you see them, so you don't lose sight of them. But the beged is on the inside, because the ethics is on the inside. Kavura, what's kavura all about? Unfortunately, to that person, Lo Aleinu, the Niftar, the corpse, the deceased, it doesn't really matter where he's going. It's just, he's not there. It doesn't matter to him. But the etiquette dictates, you know, it's kind of not nice to have a deceased person sitting in jewel next to you, so you take him out to the cemetery, you better get buried. That's what you gotta do. That's the dictate of etiquette. That's the fundamental difference. So says Rav Soloveitchik, that's why shame. The father of the Jewish people, he received the mitzvah of talis, the mitzvah on the inside that celebrates ethics. And Yefes, who is the father of the Greek culture, he received the inyan of kavura, of burial. Because for the Greeks, it's about the outside. Hence, by the way, just as an aside, I'm born to think about, why is it that the Greeks, they were unbelievable. I can't figure out, they were the most wealthy nation, yet they were so impoverished. Because every time they made a statue, they couldn't afford a pair of pants for the guy. Mamish never, not a pair of shorts, nothing. Mamish never. Unbelievable. Why is that? Because for the Greeks, it's all about the outside. It's what you see, that's what's important. So you have to go to the gym every day, lift weights, look like this, and you got to show it all off. For Yadis, it's exactly the opposite, says Rav Soloveitchik. Dr. Lamb, the chancellor of the Yeshiva University, has a great lecture. You probably can get it on yitori.org about tzniyus, the universal concept of tzniyus, how Rav Soloveitchik explained that kedusha always has concealment. It's always on the inside. That's why the malachim, I know nothing about the ma'aser ma'akava, but says Rav Soloveitchik, the malachim has six wings. Why do I have six wings? If I were a malach, I'd probably have two wings. Two to fly. No, that's how it goes in the cartoons. They fly with two wings. Says the pasuk, no. The pasuk says the fairish and another. The shayim, you pass the photo, two wings to cover. The shayim, you pass the rabble, two wings to cover the feet. The shayim, no feet. Because the malach, which had intense kedusha, had to always be covered up. Because the kedusha is on the inside, not on the outside. Now we can get to the following story. This is really the turning point. Says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Beis on the base. If we were taking a tour, let's take a tour of the Beis HaMikdash. If we took a tour of the Beis HaMikdash, we would find a tour guide who would take us around. He would show us this place and that place, and he would take us to the northeast office If you ever take Lahavdil, take a tour in Washington, D.C., growing up in Baltimore, this is something we did, you know, every 5 minutes. Anytime you have relatives, you take it to D.C. You go to Congress, they'll give you a tour of the office building, the Rayburn. They give you this office, that office. You go to the Mr. Mikdash, they give you a tour. This office, that office. And what did they have in the office? The Gemara tells you. The Mizrahi Sonis, the Northeast, had the following. If you were to take a tour, they would tell you, this is the northeast office, and this is where we store the stones from the Mizbeach that Yavanim defiled. But the Gemara asked a fundamental question, and that is the following. If I go to your home, theoretically, I came to your home, and you had this fantastic piece of artwork that came from Africa, and I decided today I'm going to be taken. And I'm going to worship that piece of artwork that you have in your home from Africa. So would that piece of artwork become also by law and I would have to throw it out and burn it in the street with gusto? No. Because we have a principle in Allah. Ain other oster, don't worship English alone. I can't offer something that's yours. I can't change the halakhic status. I can break it, there's nothing to do about that, but I can't offer. I can't make your artwork into other discovery. You can, but I can't. So the Gemara wants to know, how could it be that the Yavanim defiled the Beis HaMikdash for what's theirs? The Beis HaMikdash belongs to God. It belongs to Hashem. So how did they even have the ability to defile the Beis HaMikdash? So quote the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? Second line from Yechezkel. It says the following. Ubo v'pritzin v'chiluluha. The pritzin, the violators entered, and it became halal, devoid of kedusha. Chula. Says Rashi, source number 14, next page. Says Rashi, "Dechsev ubol ba'prisim v'chilulua." Unbelievable. Mikavon shenichnasu ovde kochavim la'echol. The moment that the non-Jews entered the Beis Hamikdash, yatsu kalev l'chulin. All of the kedusha, all of the holiness in all of the vessels, it evaporated. It dissipated. They did nothing. They just entered. Bol vapritim tachilalua. Chulin is from Lashon Halal, empty. It's devoid of kedusha. So imagine you're standing there that day. You're standing perched outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're looking inside. And two Yavanim walked into the Beis HaMikdash. It looks exactly the way it did yesterday. Nothing changed. They didn't touch one thing. But according to Halakha, the whole Beis HaMikdash, all of the Kalim are now cooling. On the outside, the Beis HaMikdash looks just fine. But on the inside, there's no more Kedusha. It's empty. It's like Rakito said, it's like an empty vessel. It's gone. That's exactly what happened on Hanukkah. Because both were Putin, the Chilulu. So now we understand. Says the Maharal, you take a look at it inside. Maharal says, well, this was the whole debate. This was the milchama between the Chachmei Yavan and the Chachmei Yisrael. The Chachmei Yavan said, wisdom is good, and that's all we need. Wisdom is on the outside. The Jewish people said, no, it's about the inside. Now we understand why. We go back. We say in the song, V'timu kalashmanim, right? It's a big thing. V'timu kalashmanim. Why did they do that? It doesn't say, V'harsu kalashmanim. They destroyed it. They didn't destroy it. They didn't throw it out. They didn't get rid of it. They left it just where it was. If you were to look at that shemen, on the outside, it looks exactly the same. V'timu kalashmanim. What changed was the quality on the inside. We don't think that outside is unimportant. The Gemara tells us in Megillah, in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, source number 16, Af b'svarim lo yitiru sheyikasvu ela yavanis. The fact is, one is permitted to write shar svarim. In those days, they used to write scrolls in other languages. What language can you use? You can use Yavanis. You can use Greek. Why? Source number 18 says the Gemara, Psalm 17 says the Gemara, the pasuk we quoted earlier, Yaf Elokim LeYefes V'Yishka Be'olei Shein. Yefes is beautiful. We think that the outside is important, but when? When it's Be'olei Shein. when it has it inside. Not alone, in a vacuum, but when it rests, Ba'ol Hashem, when the Hijr, the emphasis of Hijr Mitzvah on Hanukkah, when it's beautiful, but it has an inside. Now I understand very well. I heard the name of Rav Kook. Why is it that the miracle was done in the Shemen and not in the Menorah? Because the whole celebration is about the inside, not the outside. The outside we see, sometimes it looks just fine, but everything is rotten inside. It doesn't really matter what it looks like on the outside so much. It's not the outside, it's the inside. The menorah you can light with brass poles. It's okay. But the inside, the Jewish spark, the Ner Hashem Nishma Sadam, that must remain pure. Now we can understand and appreciate why it is that the Alanisim, which is really the Alanisim Valley and the Flows, is not the way we formally celebrate the miracle. Because although the miracle was great on the outside, the way that they feed the Greeks was incredible, but what we remember with Doros was the Taf Shemen, the way that we articulate it to the people in the Rishon Sadabim, is that there's oil that's burning on the inside. It's possible that perhaps people did not even see the miracle of Hanukkah when it happened. That's why they took another year. Says the Gemara, works out perfectly. Tosfos comments in Shabbos on Chafalos on the base. Says Tosfos, where did they find this Pach Shemen? It was so hidden, the oil, it was so inside, it was literally inside the ground. There was nothing that you could see that was tall, only on the inside. So says the Holy Sfasemis, this is the miracle of Hanukkah, that deep inside the ground, in this subterranean place, there's a Jewish spark. There's a Ner, there's a Pach Shemen that's always taller. That they can find that despite the fact that the outside is defiled, the inside is never defiled. And it's this notion that there's an inside to Torah, that there's an inside to life that we share with other people. Because although we light the candles outside, we don't fundamentally light the candles in the street. We don't take our menorah and put it in the middle of Rishon Sadabim and light it fundamentally. That is a practice, but that's an ancillary practice. Most people don't make a bracha on that. How we light our Hanukkah candles? Says the Gemara, source number 19. Amar Rabbah, Ner Hanukkah mitzvah la'anicha v'tefach hasmucha l'pesach. We light our menorah at the entrance to our home. We're lighting it for the outdoors. We're looking for Pesumei Nisa. We want people to see it. But where do we put it? We don't put the light out there. Because it's not about the outside light. It's about the light of our home. The inside light that illuminates outward. It was the light that was in the Heichal that illuminated everything. And this is the core of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, we could say, is the holiday of the inside. The Choshech of Yavon, the darkness of the Greeks, and the fact that they tried to translate the Torah, was to say Torah is outside. There's no Torah, there's Chokmah. Chokmah is on the outside. That's why it was so difficult. That's why, perhaps, there's an interesting juxtaposition between Kislev, the holiday of the inside, and Teves, where we fast from the outside. This is what it's all about. We understand now why Yefes plays a role. The outside is important, but only when it's Ba'ol Hashem. And that's why we have the mitzvah of Talis. So perhaps with this understanding, the or, the light that we are illuminating this Yontif, will be Docha Habim in HaKoshech. We'll push away all the Koshech, and we will really appreciate, we'll get a sense of the inside, like the Mitzvah says, the special quality of Torah. The Torah of a Goyim, no one has Al Tamim. No one else has Torah like we have. We have the inside, despite that it's dark. The inside, the Ner, that always burns. And Yiras Hashem, this will be the Hanukkah that inspires us to burn continuously brighter for many years. Hanukkah Sameach.